Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
Episode 71.
71.
Of The Morning After here on heritageradionetwork.org. I am one of your hosts, Jesse Kiefer.
I'm Jen Tellick. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you. I'm a proud cat mother.
As am I. Although, as a special Mother's Day gift this morning, Whoopi Goldberg, my cat, decided to poop on my bedroom floor. Just life's little blessings.
Was there a rug involved? Because usually I find that if they're going to throw up or go to the bathroom, it's on like something that you actually have to get expensively dry cleaned or something like that.
She's a little Howard Hughes about where she poops when it's not the litter box. It can't be a texture. It has to be the hardwood floor, which I appreciate because it's easier to clean. And I like to think that she took that into consideration, but she did give me a pretty intense glare as I was leaving the apartment, like, yeah, and I can do it again.
Cats are so terrible.
They're horrid.
Oh, man. Well, so this is our last Sunday. Well, not our last Sunday, but we have a little break. It's called Googa Mooga, which is where we will be all weekend next weekend.
I'm so pumped.
The 18th and 19th, Saturday and Sunday, we will be running around grabbing people for interviews and God knows what else, Jen.
My lips have been tingling with anticipation for days.
Only days?
Days. Well, I was drunk before that, yeah,
so. It's kind of hard to think that far ahead anyway, right?
It's true.
Or to remember.
We have a cool show today.
We absolutely do. In studio, Julia Tertian. She is a food writer, producer, and private chef. She just completed, your fourth cookbook?
My fourth just came out, and yeah. I just finished my fifth. So.
And you just, geez. So the one that just came out is your, you co-wrote with Gwyneth Paltrow.
I did. Mm-hmm.
It's called It's All Good.
Which I came up with drunkenly. So
yeah, girl. You're in good company.
You're like writing a million things down, and you're like,
I think this is a good idea. I don't know.
Amazing. Well, also in studio, Erin McCarthy from Counterculture Coffee here in New York City. You're the barista who won the Brewers Cup 2013.
Wow. That's true.
Cannot wait to know what that entails. I hope there are like walls that you climb up with a cup of coffee.
It was actually a latte foam portrait of Gwyneth Paltrow. I heard.
Yeah, free pour. No.
That keep just like imagining like double dare or something like that. The Brewers Cup, double dare.
The best
dare.
Show ever.
Yeah, you got like slimed, but it was like foam. And
physical challenge.
I cannot wait to hear all about it. Jen.
What?
We're also going to have a special Mother's Day summer menu at Chardonnay's.
We are. I in honor of mothers everywhere and grandmothers, I was thinking about my favorite celebrations in the South featuring my lovely grandmothers, and we're going to do a special little tribute to the nanas out there today.
And also, before that happens, it's our favorite, second favorite. It's like a child. I said this last week. I can't love.
We're throwing
one
some
more
shade
than the other.
At front of house, but it's time. It's time.
It's your favorite story. It's front of house. It's a front of house.
What a jingle. So today's front of house comes from a friend of yours, Jesse, a lovely woman by the name of Ellie Conant.
Conan.
That's what I said.
Thank you, Ellie. This is an amazing story about her mom, which seems so perfect for Mother's Day.
So Ellie writes, "My mom's famous Michelob story. A very shy and reserved Chung-Sook Kim, a.k.a. Suki, came to the States as a teen in the early 70s. She had picked up some English from CCR and Beatles albums back in Korea, but spoke very little. The only job she could land was as a cocktail server, so she learned as best she could, but had a little hiccup one day when a man asked for a Michelob beer. My mom responded by bursting out in tears and hiding in the bathroom. A concerned cocktail waitress went to check on her. "Suki, what happened? What's wrong?" Struggling through her tears of shame, she shakily replied, "He asked me for Michelob." You know, I just, this is a moment that is hanging on time for me, and I wasn't even there. I just read this right before the show began, and I have to say this is one of my favorites. Short and sweet, but that is packs a punch.
And they sound really similar.
Michelob.
Michelob, make a love.
Make a love. Oh, thank you, Ellie.
Thank you so Conan. Much, Ellie. Thank you, Suki, for your
thank
story.
Thank you. We will not be ordering any beer from you, I promise.
I haven't seen Michelob in New York City ever, so I think we'll all be all right.
Oh, God. You know what? I worked at a dive bar in Park Slope when I first moved to New York, and it was a Michelob Ultra party.
Oh, man, so it does exist.
It wasn't a good scene.
Well, we're going to take a break here. We're going to talk about where we can get some Michelob just so we can find it in New York. And we're going to come back with Julia Tertian. This is The Morning After on heritageradionetwork.org.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. You're listening to Heaven by Obesity on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Seeing a need to help people sort through all the misinformation about healthy eating, Whole Foods Market added a seventh core value: to promote the health of our stakeholders through healthy eating education. In our stores, we give you the tools you need for choosing the most nutritious foods and healthy recipes, as well as offering classes with nutritionists and cooking coaches to help inspire good health and well-being. Stop by your local store today and learn more about our Health Starts Here program and wellness clubs, or online at wholefoodsmarket.com/healthstartshere.
And we're back here on The Morning After. As we said earlier, Julia Tertian is a cookbook author, a food writer, producer, private chef. So many things.
How do you fit that on your business card?
My mother says, what's her line? "I don't care what you call me as long as you call me," which I believe in. I'll do anything.
I mean, as long as it's food related, right?
Sure, yeah.
Otherwise, I'm bored. Otherwise, you're bored. So so you're not just walking down the street and Gwyneth Paltrow stops you and is like, "Oh my God, I love your hair. Let's write a cookbook together."
Although I wouldn't be surprised, because that's a fabulous head of hair.
The hair is amazing. But, you know, how did you get your start in the culinary world?
Well, I guess in the culinary world, I've been cooking since as far back as I can remember. But I'd say my work, as you know, we can call it, started. I met Gwyneth in Spain when she was doing a PBS show about Spanish food. And she was traveling around. It was with Mario Batali.
With Mario Batali.
Yep, Mark Bittman and this really great Spanish actress, Claudia. And the guy who organized that whole show is someone I've known a long time. And I had worked for him sort of part-time during college. And he brought me on as an assistant during that shoot. And it turned into a much bigger role, which was great.
I remember, you know, seeing that and being like, "Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow likes food." I had no idea. And so then now to see, you know, all of the cookbooks, it all makes a lot more sense. How did so then you co-authored the Spain A Culinary Road Trip, mm-hmm. along with Mario Batali, mm-hmm. and was Gwyneth Paltrow involved in that as well?
Yeah, I mean, the book was that's an interesting book because it's very much a cookbook, but it's mm-hmm. kind of also not in a lot of ways. It's sort of a scrapbook of the trip, and you know, and so we were, the book is in Mario's voice, and he definitely sort of, you know, wrote it, and I helped put it together, and we were representing everyone who was on the trip, so she was absolutely involved in you know, was one of the four sort of hosts of the whole thing.
So what, I mean, what goes into producing a cookbook?
Oh, it's, I mean, it's like a total, it's like, you know, you're standing at like the bottom of like a mountain. It's like this crazy amount of work with all these different variables, and it's there's collecting the recipes, there's testing them, there's introducing them and sort of writing those stories around them. And then there's setting up the whole book, so chapter introductions, that kind of stuff. And it takes absolutely a village. And photographing a cookbook is like a really fascinating thing. And you can bring on, I've always sort of, I mean, not that I have experience in the following, but I think photographing food is a little bit like pornography. And it's like, like you're seeing this like super beautiful, enticing thing. And you're like, oh, like, you know, maybe that'd be a nice thing to have.
then, that sounds like porn.
I want to watch porn with you.
But to see what goes behind it is insane. And the amount of people and props and ingredients and all that. Assistants and stylist. And
so how did you kind of both just sit down and thought about, you know, what recipes are we putting into this
for
It's All Good?
That book came out of I had helped Gwyneth write her first book, which was My Father's Daughter, and I helped her put together all the recipes and stuff. And we had such a good time doing that we were thinking about doing another one, and it came from this really, I guess, sort of like, no pun intended, organic place of both of us just sort of being interested in healthy food and living, and but, you know, in moderation. And so it was I think it took us maybe like a year to write the book and another year for it to come out, so it was sort of 2 years start to finish, which is pretty typical for a book. And we both brought, you know, a lot to the table. And
so within It's All Good, you kind of get personal about your relationship with food.
Sure, yeah.
And how working with Gwyneth has helped you learn, you know, ways to be smarter about food, or...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, absolutely. I've always been super into food, and then spending a lot of time with her, especially in her kitchen, and she's been someone who's invested in health and wellness for a long time and is the most curious person I've probably ever met and is always finding information about all these things. And so it exposed me to a lot of ingredients and you know, ideas and just information that I had. While I always loved food, it was something I struggled with because I couldn't really control my relationship to how I consumed it. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to just, yeah, get to know someone who really had all this information and who is very generous with it. And I'd say, like, before the book started, I had kind of started to change the way I ate a little bit. And then working so much on the recipes, it was, you know, I wasn't sort of consciously trying to lose weight, or but I ended up losing quite a bit of weight. But that was sort of not the point at all. I just felt, like, much better, you know, my energy and all that kind of stuff. So
It makes me think of a friend of mine, Seamus Mullen, who wrote Hero Foods, and he has...
Who's kind of my hero, yeah.
Rheumatoid arthritis. Yeah. And so the book is about all of these foods that are good for your body, mm-hmm. and so I think it's a really important cookbook realm to
I love Seamus, and I think it's that same... It was actually... His book came out... It was, I think... I can't remember if Gwyneth and I had finished the manuscript or not, but it was right sort of during that moment when we had almost finished the book, or maybe had just finished it. And then, and I knew Seamus had been working on the book, and then I picked up Hero Food, and I was like, oh, man, it's all there.
Yeah, totally. What's one of your favorite recipes from It's All Good?
Ooh. I mean, there's a lot of really simple stuff, and I'd say the one that I keep thinking about, and it was really sweet because this a friend of mine who I went to summer camp with and I grew up with, she sent me a picture the other day her mom had made the recipe, and it's just roasted cauliflower and chickpeas, and it's got like a lot of mustard and parsley. That's really good. I like that one. But yeah, hard to choose. It's like a favorite child or something. But,
I totally understand that.
On Mother's Day.
Exactly. So you're in Spain with Vitaly and Gwyneth. There has to be a story. You have to give us some sort of craziness. Maybe you did it. Maybe you went crazy.
I think I feel like I really learned how to drink alcohol on that trip. That was like a major accomplishment. I also learned how to pretend I was drinking alcohol because there was, I mean, besides being there with, you know, Mario and Gwyneth, and, you know, which is super, it's also spending all this time with a crew, mm-hmm. Which is a really, I've never been involved in music, but I think it's kind of probably what it feels like to be on tour, and you're driving around this place and you're exhausted and you're all working towards something. So there's a lot of drinking, and I used to always find a seat next to like a plant or a wine bucket, and because I'm with all these boys and I want to keep up and, you know, feel like I'm really cool, but I would pour out my drink like while no one was looking.
So glass of water with an olive in it.
Oh yeah,
always does the trick. Yep. As well. Yep.
I have only done that really unsuccessfully. Like, someone was like, let's do shots, and instead of me just saying no, I will not take the shot, I was like, okay, and I took the shot, put it up to my lips, but then just threw it on the floor, and then took it, and
the
guy who bought it was like, do you think I didn't see that? I was like, God, I really gotta get better at this. Anyway, sorry. No. Non sequitur. So what's next for you right now? You said you're working on your fifth.
I just finished, we're editing now, so I guess we're not done, but I finished a manuscript with Jody Williams, who runs Bouvette. Mm-hmm. And so we just finished her book, which was awesome, and I can't speak highly enough about the experience. She's super.
Is it, Bouvette is kind of like a little French,
yeah.
What's the word? I mean, Bouvette is the word.
Yeah. We actually, super excited because we sort of, paid a lot of attention in the book to, what's it called? Defining Bouvette.
Mm-hmm.
Which was an interesting process because it means a lot of things. And she refers to it as a gastrotech, which is a word she kind of came up with, mm-hmm. which is sort of, you know, a combination of kind of gastropub and sort of making it a little bit French. And, the best description I've heard of Bouvette is it's a lot of little things. So it's this tiny little place. It's on Grove Street. It's adorable. And she's open from 8 a.m. until 2 a.m. every day.
Oh, wow.
I think 10 on the weekends. And so I love it because I live in the neighborhood. So it's a place you can stop in anytime, which I think is just such a nice feeling. So the book sort of is bringing the Bouvette experience, you know, putting it on the page. So
it's all French.
Mostly, but mm-hmm. Jody's American, and her background's in Italian food and Italian restaurants, so the book represents a lot of that stuff, and it's very much Bouvette-centric, but it's also sort of like a nice portrait of her and her cooking, and she's just crazy talented, and her food's really, really simple, but, you know, just like perfect combinations. And
so where can we pick up your work?
It's all good as, you know, you can get Amazon and Barnes & Noble and small bookstores, which is always a really good way to go. And what else? Oh, I wrote an article for Cherry Bomb, which, do you know about Cherry Bomb?
I don't know.
That was, I'm thinking about what work I've done lately that you can pick up. That is, I think, I'm sort of most excited about. And Cherry Bomb is this magazine started by Carrie Diamond and Claudia Wu. And Carrie, she, along with her boyfriend, runs Seersucker, and opened Nightingale 9. And so Carrie and Claudia started this magazine that's sort of about women in food, and most of the content is made by women. And it's a beautiful magazine. They did such a great job. So I interviewed Gabrielle Hamilton for their first issue, which was great.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Yeah, I know. I was like, how do I do this without fainting?
I know. I have such a... My fiance has such a crush on her. It's like...
It's
become
line.
A moot
it's
point
insane.
In our apartment. Like, the name, she who must not be named.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we mm-hmm. just...
I just met her for the first time. I was sitting across from her at a wine event at
How
Hearth.
Dare you?
No, and like, I at first didn't know who she was, but then I knew who she was immediately and was like, please talk to me. I got to get her on the show. I've been thinking about it. I got to read the book first.
Blood, Bones, and I Am Butter. I am now Butter.
Her book is gorgeous. I mean, she's such a good writer. And that's part of why I mean, everyone's attracted to her. But part of my attraction is just for her as a writer. And I think she's so talented.
I think that's what she originally wanted to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And cooked for.
Yeah. No, and now she's doing both with mm-hmm. just crazy.
Good on you, girl.
Success and grace and all that.
So is Cherry Bomb an online publication?
No, they're printed, and it's beautiful. And Claudia, who Carrie works with, is like an amazing, amazing graphic designer, and it's laid out beautifully, and it's printed on matte paper, and it feels really good. And I like that they're, you
it's
know,
like a zine.
I'd say it's a magazine.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a real deal. Magazine. Yeah. And they're, I think you can, they have like a great Kickstarter page. They raised a fortune, so you can get it through there. But I've seen it, that they just, I think this weekend brought it to some newsstands and stuff, you know, places where you can get, there's like one on 11th Street and 6th Avenue. And I can't remember the name, but you know, those good magazine shops have it. So
we'll keep an eye out for Cherry Bomb. Yeah. There's also juliatertian.com.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, can't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Thank you so much for being on the
show.
Oh,
it's my pleasure.
It's been great.
It's fun to come to Roberta's.
You're going
to
stick around with us. You're going to hear about what's on the menu at Chardonnay's. We're going to come back with Aaron McCarthy from Counterculture Coffee. This is The Morning After on heritageradionetwork.org.
This one's called Who Buggin' on the heritageradionetwork.org. You're listening to the sounds of obesity.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
On The Morning After. Counterculture Coffee is based in Durham, North Carolina.
But that's where my dad's from.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But they have, Aaron, fill me in, they have branches throughout the Northeast, correct?
Yeah, totally.
That are education centers. They're not storefronts.
Right, yeah. Counterculture is only a wholesale roaster, so that's what's kind of cool if in a certain area, a certain city, we reach a certain number of customers that that precipitates a training center. So that comes with like a customer rep who basically is there just to make sure that you make really good coffee, and a tech, which I am, so I'll fix all their equipment. And yeah, and New York is a pretty big region. We have like over 150 restaurants and cafes that we sell coffee to, so all of those people who buy our coffee exclusively can come and take any number of labs at our training center. So that's under like our counterintelligence program, which is kind of a cool name for that. Yeah, so you know, basic barista classes, brewing science 1, 2, and 3, coffee origins, that kind of stuff. So we teach those labs kind of all week long.
Who comes to those classes? Are they people getting into the coffee world, or is it kind of your everyday person?
It happens to be kind of split between your prosumer, if you will, which is
I
liked
that.
It. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Counterintelligence, you prosumer. Know,
I don't know if that's like in wine, but we definitely say that in coffee.
No, not yet.
Okay, well now maybe. Yeah. Maybe hopefully it won't catch
press release.
But yeah, so we have a good amount of people who are just interested in learning more about coffee and will show up to a beginner espresso class. Maybe they have an espresso machine at home. Same thing with brew science. You know, they want to know what exactly is going on and how to build a good recipe. We actually just started a class called Brewing Basics that is our first class totally geared towards non-coffee people, you know, people who just want to learn how to brew better coffee at home.
So do you guys approach it with just a counterculture idea, or are you open to many different ways of brewing coffee?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Many different ways. We call it brewing science, right? Mm-hmm. Those classes. So we start with talking about, the variables involved in brewing coffee. So one of those is, you know, the coffee to water ratio. Another one is just talking about water quality in general. You know, 98% of a cup of coffee is just water. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. Grind size. We teach people about, you know, making it a little smaller, a little finer does, what making it coarser does. All of these things that you kind of don't think about, we try to simplify and teach you how to make better coffee.
Is it a 2-to-1 ratio? Two parts water, one part coffee?
Well, I'll tell you.
That's what I do. One scoop.
That tends to work well, right?
Two cups. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. The ratio that we use is based on the United States government paid their government scientists to come up with the correct ratio of coffee to water, because they were sending packets of coffee out to the troops during World War II. So what they came up with was the golden ratio, and that actually has kind of stood up. Americans tend to like coffee a little weaker, and Europeans tend to like coffee a little stronger, though that definitely has changed since Starbucks came around in America, right? We're mm-hmm. drinking a strong coffee. But in general, Americans like weak coffee. So you know, we say like 1.6 to 2 grams of coffee for every ounce of water. I know I changed measurements there, but ounces are what we know, right? So that's about, yeah. So you know, if you don't have a scale, which a lot of people don't.
I don't.
A tablespoon works great.
Okay.
So, that's kind of the basics of what we teach.
I just want to make sure that I'm cool. Like, I'm doing the right ratio, because I don't want anybody to think that I don't drink the right coffee, right?
Sorry. I actually have a coffee question on this note that I've been saving for you. Okay. Now, I am a soy consumer. And
if... Soy-sumer?
I am a soy-sumer.
Yes. I love this blending voice.
If I... make, because my girlfriend usually makes a French press, and she makes it like molten lava. It's so thick. I mean, she definitely is on the European side of the spectrum when it comes to that. If I put soy in it, it coagulates, which is not pretty.
Yeah.
It's not pretty. And I wondered if it was a matter of how acidic the beans were.
Word.
Or if it was because she just made it so strong. But this has to stop.
I think...
this must end.
Yeah.
I can't live this way.
One trick is to put a little bit of coffee in your cup, put some soy milk in, stir it.
Okay.
And kind of like do it like that.
Okay.
And then it doesn't tend to coagulate. Yeah,
never
it's
done
definitely
that.
The soy hitting coffees that are coffee that certain beans or origins or varieties tend to be more acidic than others, right? Tend to have different types of acidity that will react to soy, right? So ones with maybe more citric acidity rather than malic acidity will react more to soy milk. So and I would guess that the strength of the coffee also will exacerbate that.
Okay. But, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A long-standing domestic dispute in my household.
I hope
that you've just solved.
Love
thank
line.
You.
Love line. Yeah.
I will say hands down that I think counterculture iced coffee is the best iced coffee I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, how do you feel about iced coffee? Is that a cop out, or is that like legit as hot coffee?
Yeah, it's really legit. It's a great. Here's the thing: the way that they brewing it hot mm-hmm. and having the resulting kind of brew as it brews over like a Melita, like a pour over dripper, is a great way to preserve acidity while not making it really bitter. Mm-hmm. If you brew a whole cup of coffee and then ice it, that tends to not only water it down, right,
mm-hmm.
but give a really kind of bitter aftertaste to it. But for some reason, when you're putting the ice in the carafe that you're brewing into, and so you're kind of putting half the amount of water, of hot water, and then the other half is ice, it makes a really awesome cup that tastes really similar to the hot coffee, which is kind of what you want.
And you're brewing, it's a cold brew, correct?
Nope, it's not cold brew. Cold brew is something else.
Okay.
Cold brew is a concentrate, usually, that's brewed overnight in cold water. So you have to use like a hella coarse grind, because you're soaking it for like 12 to 16 hours, cold water. And the resulting concentrate is mixed however people like 1-to-1, 1.5-to-1. And the idea behind that is to actually decrease the acidity. So there's a lot of oxidation that happens overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And so you tend to get a cup that's extremely chocolatey and very dense and very sweet, but doesn't have a lot of the fruit notes or the acidic notes that, fruit acidity, right?
Mm-hmm.
That can come from that same coffee brewed hot, or that same coffee brewed with the method I just talked about. So I like acidity in coffee. I dig it. So I don't prefer cold brew. I'm on the record now. I don't.
So
those fine words.
as the winner of the 2013 U.S. Brewers Cup, you're on the record saying that. But also, you know, obviously you're incredibly knowledgeable. Is that, did they ask you like pageant questions?
No.
Things like that?
No. Which is great.
So what sort of tasks did you have to perform to win?
Okay. So the first round, there are two parts to it. And the first part is that everyone gets the same coffee and no one knows what it is. And you have to like dial it in, and you can use whatever brew method you want, whether it's like a siphon or whether it's a French press or pour over. I used a Kalita Wave. It's like a flat bottom. It looks like a cupcake tin or like a regular like industrial kind of flat bottom brewer. And you just brew it, and the judges, their backs are to you, and you give them someone else delivers the coffee, and then they rate you. So the top six scores from that move on, right? And those scores are combined with the other part of round one, which was a presentation. You bring your own coffee. So that's okay. 10 minutes of like a talk about why you brought this coffee and why it's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then the finals is just that presentation again.
Oh, so you didn't have to...
The top six.
...to foam Gwyneth Paltrow's face.
But it you does could. Not have to... Yeah, it's just brewing coffee.
No latte art.
The barista competition is way more intense because you have three courses, 15 minutes, you know, to brew, to make, you know, four espressos, four cappuccinos, four signature drinks. So I'm not a barista competitor. I respect them very much. My coworker, Katie Cardullo, was mm-hmm. U.S. barista champ last year, so... She's actually my coach this year from Melbourne. So.
Wait, yeah. You're going to, like, the world now.
Right, yeah, that's what I won, was, like, getting flown to Melbourne to compete in the world. Yeah.
Wow.
So
who's judging this? Can I ask that?
Sure,
please.
Totally.
Julia.
Thanks for the question, Julia. there, basically, you have to have passed a certain coffee certification called your Q grader or quality grader. It's basically like a... What I've heard is it's close to a sommelier test, right?
Okay.
So it's like, it's a pretty intense, week or two long kind of battery of exams, sensory exams. And if you pass it, then you're cool. And you get invited to judge, you know, coffee competitions as well as like Cup of Excellence, which is a pretty rad coffee competition that happens in different coffee growing regions around the world. Like, you'll get invited to that. So it gives you cred, gives you sensory cred.
Cool. So, who's making the documentary?
I don't know.
I'm on it.
We're all on it.
We're on it.
Okay.
You're on it.
Team
done. I'm going to grab some audio equipment from the studio around the corner. I'm going to grab a 5D. Let's do it.
Absolutely. I'm in. Are you in?
I got time to burn.
I can get a zip car.
Because you're going
to... Done.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to get us to Melbourne.
No, you're the star.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? You're the subject.
Oh, all right.
I'm gonna be sleeping next to you every night with a camera on your face, just in case you stir in your
I
sleep.
Drool.
Oh yeah, all of it.
I mean, you have to get the wake up coffee drinking.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited about this. We can't even go to Googamooga now. We need the brainstorming time.
We need to focus entirely on this. Well, Aaron, where can we check out Counterculture Coffee and classes and all of that?
So Counterculture Coffee, let's see. Well, Seersucker and Nightingale 9.
Awesome.
Yeah. I work on their equipment. They're awesome. They serve our coffee. Myelino, Spotted Pig, the Parker Meridian Hotel, and of course Cafe's Everyman Espresso mm-hmm. is a great representation of our coffee. Especially they're doing a lot of new cool things in their new location. In Tribeca-ish, Soho-ish,
West like Broadway north of Canal.
Yeah, totally. And in terms of getting our coffee, our website, counterculturecoffee.com, you can buy anything on there. And if you go under the training tab or education tab in New York City, there's basically a schedule of all the classes we teach, and you can click on them and you just basically sign up there online.
And will you teach any?
I personally?
Yeah.
I do occasionally teach any. I'm not scheduled to teach any in the next, like, 3 months, which is what...
We have to
let us know because we're filming
it. I do assist them, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So I can just put my stuffed animals up and just, like, do, like, a after-hours class for you.
opening credits.
Don't
see the whole
thing. Don't you tempt me, dude.
This is amazing.
Amazing. Aaron, thank you so much, and congratulations, and good luck in Melbourne.
Yeah.
You know what? Jessie's got to hit an accent at one point in every show that she then has a subsequent meltdown about after the show. She's like, I didn't say it right.
Well,
I know
you know
I
what?
Didn't.
Okay, so last episode, this is, I apologize, everyone, but last episode, we had Jeepney on. It's a Filipino restaurant, and they have a sister restaurant called Maharlika, which I can completely pronounce now, and I went out for drinks with them after the show, and I said it to them, like, 1,000 times, and finally they were like, now that you can say it, it's, like, not as cute. Yeah, like we liked it better when you couldn't actually pronounce it. So I think I was calling it Mahalarka. So yeah, Mahalarka.
You might have even said Malarkey at one point.
If anything's possible. We're going to come back with what's on the menu at Chardonnay's. This is The Morning After on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This one's called Percolating by Obesity on the Heritage Radio Network. Enjoy a nice cup of coffee, everyone.
Back here in The Morning After on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
That was such an appropriate song, Joe. Percolate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
I try.
Yes. So we talked earlier about our grandmother tribute today for Mother's Day. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I decided to take Chardonnays, because Chardonnays does love a good pop-up. What's on the menu with Chardonnays? Gotta find out who makes those jingles. I was thinking about, you know, my favorite experiences with my beloved grandmothers. And I'm from the South, and barbecuing and potlucking is big in our culture. And I do love a birthday party. So this week, Chardonnays is doing a pop-up for your grandmother's 90th birthday potluck. Oh, welcome to Nandy's 90th, hosted by your Uncle Barry, or as your father calls him, that asshole we don't make eye contact with. Come on down to the backyard where we've set up 6 full-length folding tables and 12 coolers of already melted ice. Oh, there's Aunt Susan. I guess she didn't run off with her algebra student after all. Yikes, is that Aunt Patty's potato salad? You guys are just too much. Here comes Cousin Dan with a veggie plate he paid for with 16 Costco coupons. Who doesn't love a hoarder? Once you've eaten your fill of baby carrots and ranch, move on down to the macaroni of mysterious origin section, where you have your choice of 6 bowls of pasta, each floating in a dill pepper cream sauce. And yes, once that shit is on your paper plate, everything else will taste like it. Looks like your nephew Bartholomew is already into the salad greens. Isn't he sweet? He's homeschooled. Easy there, Bart. Let's save some iceberg lettuce for the rest of us. If there's still room on your Dixie plate for more, your dad and Uncle Bill are grilling up some burgers and dogs. It's so nice to see those two getting along after their fist fight at Julie's graduation. And finally, here she is, the woman of the hour, Nana, taking her place in a floral print chaise that still has the plastic cover on. And it seems that there's some confusion here. She's whispering something to Aunt Linda. She is going back inside, ladies and gentlemen. She is just gonna go back inside. Nana has decided instead to eat a Jell-O cup in her bedroom so she can catch the end of Judge Judy. Thanks for coming, everyone. Enjoy the day, and don't forget that you drunkenly agreed to start a book club with your cousin Janice. You better get to reading the help. Happy Mother's Day, y'all.
We need another Chardonnays, Joe. Oh.
I thought you meant another segment. And I was like, what's on the menu with Chardonnays? I would like to give a special thank you on behalf of The Morning After to GarageBand Loops, which have provided all of the music in every single jingle you've heard today. Yes, poor Nana. She just wanted a Jell-O cup.
She's just over it.
She's over it.
You know, it's all good, right? No.
She's exactly. Lived through 3 wars, 6 husbands, and 2 bad cases of tuberculosis. So let's give the lady a break. She wants to watch Judge Judy.
Well, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day,
everybody.
To my
mom, Kathy.
And my mom, Mary Gay. Hi, Mom. I know she listens every week. She's very sweet and loyal. MG, I love you.
Julia, Aaron, thank you so much for being on The Morning After.
Thank you, guys.
And Jen, as always.
Oh, Jessie, come on.
My partner in crime.
Hey, listen, babe. I'll see you at Googa Moogs.
Yeah, girl.
Woohoo!
This is The Morning After on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.